From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week on YouTube, President-elect Donald Trump talked about his policy plans for when he takes office. Included in his comments was this.
I will formulate a rule which says that for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated. So important.
So important. Regulation is a big issue in the tech world, from drones and self-driving cars to net neutrality. On that last point, Trump just selected two advisors who will help lead his plans for changes to our telecom policy. One is a former lobbyist for Sprint. The other is from the conservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. We called up someone to help us read the tea leaves on all this, Larry Downs. He's project director at the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy. Larry, thanks for chatting. This twofer regulation situation, is this something presidents have done in the past?
Not quite that arithmetic, but, you know, the Obama administration has had several executive orders that require the agencies on a regular basis to review their existing regulations and to sunset those that are no longer necessary or that aren't really cost effective anymore.
Interesting. Okay, so what might this mean for regulation of new technology, like self-driving cars, for instance, or something else?
There isn't really much on the books now to retire, but certainly in the last couple of years, particularly of the Obama administration, the agencies have come out with guidelines saying, you know, we're going to let these industries evolve. You would imagine, at least on paper, that a Republican administration would have a similar, if not even more relaxed policy.
Let's talk FCC. These are two new advisors that Mr. Trump has hired. What do they mean for the future of telecom regulation?
As with everything with this incoming administration, I think we have to start by saying it's hard to say. What's going to happen, I think, very quickly is that either Congress or the FCC or both will move to undo the decision that the Chairman Wheeler of the FCC came to in 2015, which was to try to regulate ISPs as public utilities.
Internet service providers.
There's a lot of criticism about that, and I think that will be the first thing to go at the new FCC.
I know the FCC has been trying to make sure that people who have been left behind get access to high-speed internet. What might rolling back this idea of internet service providers as public utilities do to the idea of giving access to everyone?
Well, the FCC didn't need to reclassify ISPs as public utilities to worry about access. They've been longstanding programs in place. In the last 4 years, they've been modified to go from universal service for dial tone to universal service for broadband access. The real problem is those programs are not sustainable. They're funded based on a tax on voice communications, which has been declining, and so the rate keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
Those programs are going to have to be reformed anyway. I don't think under any administration they were going to be able to stay the way they were.
Larry Downs, he's with the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy. He's also author of the book, The Big Bang Disruption Strategy in the Age of Devastating Innovation. Larry, thanks a lot for talking to me.
My pleasure.
This season on Codebreaker, we have a new big question that we are asking about one kind of technology in every episode. The question, can it save us? Listen, decode, and decide. You can subscribe now on iTunes. This could be a big week for virtual reality. Some are saying this is the first real VR holiday season where people will actually pony up for a brand new kind of hardware that is still a bit untested. That hasn't stopped a bunch of people from making the stuff that you might watch in virtual reality, though, like this film called World Tour. If you guessed hiker crunching over glaciers in boots, you win a cookie. The video, which shows scenes of life from all over the planet in 360 degrees, was made by Jessica Brillhart. She is principal filmmaker for virtual reality at Google. When I talked to her recently at the New Yorkers Tech Fest, I started by asking her what the heck the title Principal Filmmaker for Virtual Reality means.
It's been changing pretty regularly, and a lot of my work that I've been doing in VR has been kind of finding out what needs to be rethought, which is basically all of it
right,
in VR.
Right, I was going to say, right.
But it's actually interesting because I use myself as an example. Even within the past few years that I've been working in this space, which feels like forever, I've even had to change the way that I've talked about the stuff that I learned. I was like, oh yeah, okay, so like the viewer needs to do X, Y, and Z or whatever. And then I suddenly was like, well, it's not a viewer, it's a visitor because we're making worlds. So suddenly I had to go back and kind of rethink all of the things that I had done before.
Where does VR fail as a storytelling media?
We try to limit it to what we know from a medium standpoint. Because story is really, and I mean, it's an obvious thing, is a result of an experience that we've had that we want to try to communicate with someone else. With VR, what you're doing is you're taking that person that would normally be receiving that story and putting them in the actual experience. And suddenly the story no longer has any place to, like, you could scream the story as loud as you want and there's no one's going to listen to you because they're there. Figuring that out.
So you as a filter is removed.
Exactly.
You used to make traditional film. Now you're making
VR. Now I'm insane.
VR.
Yeah. Now I'm actually crazy. Yeah.
Why?
I was asked by a group of engineers. That's why. And I was starting to think about interactive a little bit, not a lot, but just like, wouldn't it be interesting if we could create films that were a little bit more immersive and a more like you could do stuff with it. And
what do you think needs to happen on the content side for people who are not interested in gaming, not interested in experimental film, to opt in?
Serialized content. We need stuff that makes us care and stuff that matters to us fundamentally.
And you don't think we're there yet?
With all due respect for everybody that makes stuff, no, we have a lot of work to do. For me, it's about caring about the person that's in the experience. You know, I've heard creators go on stage or go to conferences and say, you know, they all talk about how to get someone to look in the direction that you want them to look. And I just think that's a fundamentally wrong thing to ask. I think compelling is maybe a better way of saying it. It's a relationship that we have with the visitor to these experiences.
Jessica Brillhart is the principal filmmaker for VR at Google. Jessica, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And today we released the latest episode of our podcast, Codebreaker, which is all about virtual reality. Codebreaker comes out on iTunes or your favorite podcast app every week, but you can binge the whole thing Netflix style if you crack the hidden codes in each episode and put them in at the website codebreaker.codes. Check it out. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.